1 Kings chapter 19, in verse 8. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength that meet 40 days and 40 nights into Horeb, the mountain of God. Now this is talking about Elijah. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. Anybody ever spend a night in a cave? I'm pretty happy I never have. I don't want to find myself in a position where I would need to spend a night in the cave. Not for fun, not of necessity. I like comforts. I do. I like cozy blankets and heated blankets and flannel sheets and my own two pillows. I'm not a big fan of sleeping in caves. But he came hither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, look at this question that he asked Elijah. What doest thou here, Elijah? What doest thou here, Elijah? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Lord, once again, I thank you for getting us here safely, and I thank you for knowing that, God, you bend your ear towards us and hear us. And Lord, these requests, again, that seem so serious and so heavy, and God, I can't really do anything about them, but we do bring them to you. And we know that you can work, and we know that you can make yourself known through these things. And God, I pray that you continue to draw people to you. Lord, bless the service now, bless your word, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 19, God asked Elijah the prophet, what doest thou here, Elijah? You know, I read that, and I was thinking about that quite a bit. And I was thinking, was he asking him, like, what is it that you're actually doing in reference to his actions? Or was it in a reference to his location? What are you doing here? You're supposed to be somewhere else. Or was he more concerned about what he was actually doing in the cave? Say, you're fighting over words. Yeah, but I ask myself maybe, or maybe you can ask yourself the question, what is it that you're doing here? Like, what are you involved in? What is your role here? There's a lot of different roles, and we can look at Romans and how important each part blends with the other, but what doest thou here? And you can fill your name in. Maybe as you walk outside these doors and you walk around and you go throughout your life, and maybe the similar question could be asked, what are you doing in this place? You ought not to be here. Ever find yourself in a place that you ought not to be? How's your relationship with the Lord tonight? Are you where God desires you to be? So when God asked the question, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous. Probably not good actions are going to come from someone that admits, I have great amount of jealousy in my heart. Do we agree? Probably so. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, throw down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left. Now we know that not to be true. But Elijah was having himself a full-blown adult pity party. To which, maybe we have found ourselves in the same circumstance. Hey, what's going on? Your cheery friend calls you one day, or you see someone at work. Hey, how are you? Oh, let me tell you. Oh, it's bad. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me, right? Lost my tail again. And they seek my life to take it away. So here Elijah feels threatened, and what does he do? He runs to the cave and he hides there, only to find the presence of God. You know, let us remember that no matter how far we run, no matter how far we travel away from what we would consider our problems, God is still there. And we can't get away from God. His problem actually sounds like it's with God himself. For I am very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, he says. I got a problem with you, Lord, and I tried to run away only to find you in the most loneliest of spots. You know that you cannot outrun or run from the Lord. Ask our friend Jonah. Jonah, how'd it go getting away from God? Awful. Who knew that God was inside the belly of giant fish? Who knew that God inhabits the loneliness of caves? There's no place that we could ever run and be away from God. What doest thou here? I ask the question again, where in your life should you be? If God asks you, hey, you don't belong here, where should you be? He goes on to say, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind. Look at what the Bible says about this wind that passes by. The great and strong wind rent the mountains. Hey, go stand out there and go watch this. And Elijah's standing out there, and what happens? The wind of God comes through and splits mountains in half. Break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, it says. After the wind, an earthquake. Could you imagine taking all this in? It says, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. In verse 11 of 1 Kings 19. There you are, you think you're all alone. All of a sudden the voice of God touches your heart. And He says, hey, go stand outside, I want to go show you something. And as you're standing on the mountain, the mountain of God, in front of you, all of a sudden you feel the hair stand up a little bit. Maybe much like coming out of your car tonight. The wind of God itself comes by and blows through and splits land in half, breaking apart. That's some serious wind. As you're standing there and the wind dies down, all of a sudden you watch the ground shake, the earthquake. The earth isn't even done moving, and after the earthquake, the Bible says, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, He says this, a still small voice. All this commotion, all this ruckus, all this destruction happens before His eyes. Here Elijah feels like trying to get away from his troubles, get away from his problems, and he finds God in the very midst of them, comes out of the cave. What does he see? He sees the wind split the mountains, the earth quakes, and out of maybe the sky, maybe from the ground, fire consumes it all. It all settles down. And then the still small voice of God. In verse 13 it says, and it was so when Elijah heard it. It's the first time I saw this. I've read this passage multiple times. We just studied it in young adults and brought me back to it this week. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle. He's standing on the mountain of God and he watched the wind blow in front of him and split the mountains in two. Didn't cover his face. That didn't scare him. The earth quakes. Didn't scare him. Watch fire either come up from the ground or some sort of a volcanic eruption. Doesn't tell us. Maybe it came down from the sky. Didn't bother him. But oh, the gentle voice of God in your heart. And what does he do? He covers himself. There's something powerful about the still small voice of God. But all too often we are consumed with the ruckus and the commotion that we can't even hear it. What is most effective in getting to the heart and mind of man? Is it the winds of God, the earthquake of God, the fire of God, or His still small voice in your heart? Here, Elijah was most affected by God's simple, tender mercy. So much so that he couldn't even look. Didn't say that he covered his face for the other things, but it says, and so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out. God asked them the same question. What doest thou here, Elijah? When the commotion of the life settles down, here we are, probably at one of the most busy times of your life throughout the year. Christmas time. Hustle and bustle of gifts and presents and cookies and food and family obligations, friend obligations, church obligations, choir obligations, school, Christmas spirit week. Say, Pastor Russo, why do you make it so difficult on us? And if somehow we could just turn it all down for a minute. Turn off the radio. The minute we get in the car, the kids are like, turn down the Christmas music. Hold on. I just need a few moments of silence. Get in the house. Dad, can we watch something? And all day, you're just inundated with exterior noise. And all day, God has been trying in His still small voice. Not trying, He's speaking. But we got all this commotion going on in front of us that we can't even hear His still small voice. If we could just step back for a minute, and number one, get quiet. Sometimes people don't know how to handle quiet. It drives them crazy. I had an uncle growing up, and anytime we went to his house, my sister and I would sometimes go there for 3 or 4 days. It was my mom's uncle, and we'd spend time with him, and he lived in Buffalo, and the minute we walked in the house, no matter, he had his own shop, and we would go work with him. We didn't work, we just broke stuff usually, but we would try and work with him, and constant, there always had to be something on, either the television or the radio. We walk into the house, he immediately turns on the radio. Uncle Dan, why, I just got to have noise. In your life, when was the last time you got quiet? Turned off the radios, turned off the phones, turned off the computers. Turned it all off so it was just you and God. Say, is that what God wants? Mark chapter 4. Wouldn't it be a shame if God was speaking to you and you just couldn't hear it? Because the noise of life was just too high. Can I ask you a further question? Do you think the devil would like to keep everything nice and loud all around you so you couldn't hear his leading? I'm guessing so. The Bible says this. Look at some of these sweet little verses here. And Mark chapter 4 and verse 19, I understand the parable here. It's the parable of the sower, and we're talking about seed falling on different ground and different total message. But in verse 19, in the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust. So this is, I'm sorry, Mark 4:19. And the cares of this world. Do you know what that is? That's just noise. We get so worried about what's going on in the world. Maybe some of you are glued to Fox News today, or CNN, or MSNBC, or whatever it is that you watch. AP, whatever. I got to know what's going on. What's happening with the president? The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. See, the world will try and lie to us and push us into, hey, you need to get rich. You need to do that. And the lust of other things entering in choke the word and it become unfruitful. It's not that the word isn't there, it just became unfruitful. Almost as if God is speaking and we can't hear it. Why? Because we're so chasing after all the noise. Look at Psalm 46 tonight. God invites us to settle down. God invites us to slow down. God invites us to turn some of that stuff off so we can hear Him. In Psalm 46 and verse 10, we know these verses. Be still, and what does it say? And know that I am God. Stop for a minute, he says. I'd like to talk with you. Just recently, we've a allowed our children to, over the last year or so, they, again, you got to be careful with some of the stuff, but they've gotten some MP3 players, and we're careful with what they put on. They use an iTunes account that we have access to, and we see all the songs, and that I'm happy they're listening to preaching messages. And they, Brother Ryan that plays the guitar, he made a CD, and we added that. And so just recently, and we allow them to use it on, they don't walk around the house with it, but if we take a trip or something like that, the boys will listen to it on a ride, or maybe if they're doing some sort of sport activity or working on the outside. But for the first time in my life, I've had to go to my teenage boys and say, "Hey, unplug, I'm trying to talk to you." I've seen it. But now, this is the first time I've had to use those words. My parents had to use those words. Now I'm saying these things. And I wonder if the Lord says, hey, unplug, I'm trying to talk to you. Be still. Hey, I need your attention. Be still and know that I am God. Quiet down. I'm trying to talk with you. But what do we do? The world will just have us crank up the chasing of this world. The deceitfulness of lusts. The deceitfulness of riches. The cares of this life. So much so that I have beats. Beats are nice. They go over my ears like this. You know what I hear? Just what's coming in here. Noise canceling. Woo! Anybody have those? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? They're nice. Oblivious to the entire world. You could be talking to me. I have no idea. By design. They're excellent for travel. You know, sometimes we block out the still small voice of God in our life. Because the noise of this world is just cranked up so much. To which I ask you, what are you doing here? I told you a while to go back that way. I'm sorry I didn't hear you. I don't think the two are unconnected. Still small voice of God. Number one, get quiet. Number two, it's important to get alone. Mark chapter 6 and verse 31. Elijah found out that day he will never be alone. Even when he tried to get alone, he's not alone. You know, sometimes we just want to get away from it all. You'll never get away from it all. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 31, it says this, "And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." He said, separate yourself a little bit. I'd like to spend some time with you. And there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Just wanted to rest a while. Just wanted some alone time. Hey, it's important to get some alone time with the Lord. I told you this. I had a chance to talk with Johnny Pope. It was a couple years ago now. And I asked him, I said, "Hey, what recommendations do you have for me?" He said, value your alone time with God. Make that a priority in your life. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, it says, "But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." What is that? Just you and God. When was the last time it was just you and God? When was the last time you could hear the still small voice of God? That you got quiet, that you got alone. Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the..." And it goes on to all these things. Hey, it's good to stay away from that stuff. It's good to just, once in a while, just get alone with the Lord. So we can hear the still small voice. Get quiet, get alone. And then lastly, Psalm chapter 19. Listen up. Get quiet, get alone. But then listen for that still small voice. Psalm 19 and verse 14, it says this, "Let the words of my mouth and look and the meditation of my heart." What is it that you're thinking about? What is it that you're listening to? Are we meditating on the things of God? Meditation of my heart. That means God's talking to me in my heart. Can I hear that? Sometimes young adults will come or young people will come and, "Pastor Russo, I'm struggling. I don't know what to do." What was the last thing he told you to do? What was the last thing that you heard in your life? Did you do that? Hey, Christian, what was the last thing God told you to do in your life? Have you done that? Because that's where he expects you to be. Psalm 119, last verse. Psalm 119. And verse 15. Some more thought. Psalm 119 and verse 15. "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." I will meditate in thy precepts. Am I listening to those things? Am I thinking about those things? I know it's a busy time of year. But in your heart and in your mind, if you could slow it down, shut some things off, value the importance of some quiet time with God, that He could talk to you, that you could hear Him. The value of the still small voice. Let's all stand. Thought it was interesting that with all the turmoil in front of him, when it gets personal, when you can hear the voice of God, you got nowhere else to go.